Praise the Lord. All right. Our pastor cared enough to send the very best. Couldn't be here himself, so we're going to bring up Mr. Hall Mark. Mark, if you don't know, serves as oversight leadership for our church, and we're very thankful for his fellowship and for his love for our congregation. Amen. We're blessed to have you, brother. So come and share.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again. You got your Bibles with you? All right. About time, right? Could be electronic or the old school. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. It is good to be with you all this morning. It's good. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord together. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So it was Valentine's week last week, right? Was it Valentine's week last week? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. I should have asked you this before the service. Did anybody pray for the couples at all last week? No? Okay. So if you're married and your spouse is here or not here, would you stand for me? And my wife, come over here, sweetheart. Come on. If you can stand, please stand. If not, just be there. I want to pray for you all right? Yeah. There's a real deal going on. A few years ago, I met a woman who was right over where New Covenant is. There's a community, a housing community called Michael's Woods, a little bit north of the church. And I met this woman, and she was a real, real full-fledged witch. It was very interesting. Just the power. You can just feel the presence. It was amazing. And in the conversation there, it came up, she says, we pray. That's a word we use, isn't it? We fast. Now, that's another word we use. She's using these words. She goes, we pray and fast against Christian marriages. So it really gave me, our flesh and blood's not the enemy. Amen. We sometimes think that it is. But I want to pray for you all because there's just a real, there's an attack against marriage. It's been there for many, many years. I get it. But I just want to pray a blessing on you all. If you're next to your spouse, grab their hand. That'd be great. Father, we just thank you for each person here that is in a committed marriage. Lord, where we're walking together, we sometimes always don't feel the love, but we do know we're committed one to another because we said those vows before you, before people. And we're committed to that. We're people of our word because you, and by your grace, help us to be committed to our own word at times. So I pray a blessing upon each marriage here, Lord. Cause life to flow from it. Cause it to be effective. And Lord, may it demonstrate that beautiful picture of heaven, Lord, that there is a bridegroom and that there's a bride on this earth. And we await your return. Lord, make that so real to each one of us today. And I pray a blessing upon each one right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, you may be seated. I just felt just to do that real quick. I was just thinking about last week and so on. So, amen. Amen. It's good. It's good to be together. And the Lord is so faithful in every way. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to get right into it this morning. And I'm dealing with this morning just some things that I've been walking through. And so this really comes out of really more of a personal walk than it is just to take a portion of Scripture and go through it and exegete it and so on, all that, but just to really walk through it. But this Scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And again, this is a beautiful letter, Peter writing this letter. This letter demonstrates his heart. He talks, if you read a few verses before this portion, talks about what the Apostle Paul had reminded the Christians there. But he says it this way, but grow, this is verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm reading in the English Standard Version here. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. That word grow, I've been thinking about that. It's interesting, the contrast between verse 18, even in verse 17, where there's even a beware. in verse 17, beware. And yet in verse 18, we have this, but grow. Christians need to be aware of what's going on, but Christians need to be always growing. Amen? Growing in the grace and the knowledge. But so many times in pastoring for so many years, and you all that have been in the faith for a long time, we realize that we've been in the faith a long time, but we see this in church. We see someone give their life to the Lord. There's an excitement. There's an enthusiasm. Excuse me. But many times, do they learn to grow, or are they still drinking the milk? Are they chewing the meat ever? You know, are they really growing? And I think one of the things that God calls us to do is to grow, amen, past their point of salvation. This word grow means to increase, to augment, because growth is not an event, it's a process, amen? Say that to the person next to you. Say, listen, growth is not instant, but it's a process. It's a process. Just think, a child is born, wouldn't it be nice if they were instantly mature? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But they're not, are they? Right? They got to get through that me word and my word, and you know, they got to grow. It's a process. A seed is planted in the ground. There's water. There's good soil. There's sun, and so on, and it grows. It's process. It's not instant. I've been thinking about that. You know how that's so important. Salvation is an event. It's instantaneous, but there's a process. Where we grow, we're going to plant some grass. And so you throw some seed down, and it takes time. And finally, those little shoots come through the ground, and you've got some grass that's there. So growth is not an event. It's a process. So Peter says here, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Be growing. Thought about that in my life and the changes that God's taken me through about the growth process. Am I continuing to grow in Him? Or am I just excited about, you know, the verses that I know, but am I really pressing in? Am I going after all that He has? So grow is a command we're given here. It's not an option. It's this growth idea. Growth is a process of becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, in this growth process, and I said all that to say this, that in the growth process, you can become discouraged. You can become discouraged. You can walk through situations you don't understand. Why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening with work? Why is this happening in my life? Physical things that go on in our lives can really rob us of a lot of joy. You know, we love when we sing these beautiful songs that Judy and the team led us in today, and the excitement that comes with that. But in that, there can be times where we find ourselves very frustrated, and we find ourselves discouraged. Now, it's interesting to just set that against you're to grow. You're to keep growing. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there is this other aspect that's at work where we find ourselves discouraged, because things just don't look like we want them to. We expected them to look like. And so we find ourselves frustrated. And it's in that place, and I titled this morning, Dealing with Discouragement in Your Life. Dealing with discouragement. Something that I've been working through. You know, I told a story here. How long has Bubba been the pastor? 15 years, is it? How long? 18 now? Thank you. Time flies, right? When we had that big tent out there in the field and we had the big time of just setting them in and just celebrating with the church family here, I shared a story that day, and I haven't shared really it since, but it was a story about when we moved down here in 1982, August of 82. We moved from Rochester, New York area down to the peninsula, down in Newport News and Hampton. And you know, we were trying to save money, and we had, at the time, our son was just a few months old, and so we were moving down here, and I found this 69 Econo van, Ford van, right? It looked completely like a hippie machine. I mean, seriously, it was faded blue with a kind of a white stripe. It was all oxidized, you know, I mean, just the way it looked, right? Had windows, had curtains in the windows, and rust all over that thing. And someone let me, said, hey, you know, I think you're going to need some help with all this thing. I've got I think it's a 58 or 59 Dodge pickup truck back end that they made into a trailer. And you can use that. Wow. Listen, Beverly Hillbillies had nothing on us. You should have seen this thing. I built walls on this trailer. We filled it. We put all of our good stuff, which wasn't much inside the van. Everything else was in this trailer. This thing is standing, you know, 8, 9, 10 feet tall. Guess what I didn't know? The trailer didn't have shocks. So as we're going down the road and any truck goes by us, this is the trailer behind me. Now, I don't know if you ever felt this way, but when you're in a line of cars and there's always a slow car in the front, you're not sure because when you're winding out of our little town of Lima and heading down this way, we're going through some hills and mountains and so on, and we're coming down. And I had changed the motor. It had a 306, straight six that Ford put out and had it in that van. Well, the number one cylinder, which tends to be a weak point in that motor, blew. So a few weeks before, I'm putting in this motor into this van. And that's an amazing story all by itself. But we put this motor in there, and the guy said, you got this seal between the motor and the transmission. There's a seal there, main seal, and you're going to get some drips. You might have to add some, you know, maybe once a year. Okay, no problem. So we're all hooked up. We're loaded up. We say goodbye to my parents, and Mary's in our car with our son and someone else, and I'm in the van. You know, I've got my CB thing there. The van's packed. I've got a lamp over there and that seat over there. And, you know, and so we head out of Lima. And I go about, I don't know, maybe 8, 9 miles. And I hear the transmission slip. Oh, okay. So we pull over. All the cars that have been behind us, they all just pass, you know. And so I go out. I have to go over. I have to take the lamp out and everything. Got to move this engine cover, which is inside the van. I got to move it back. Find the little spot where I pour the transmission fluid down. And I pour in 2 quarts. Start it back up. Feel it engage. We head back out again. I go about 4 miles. You got it. But every 3 to 5, if I hit 5 miles, we were excited. Because I had actually gone. I actually stopped at a Kmart. I went in there. Every bit of transmission fluid that they had, I filled 2 carts. People at the register, you okay, sir? I said, I'm going to be. I remember where I stopped. In fact, when we drive by, we'll always talk when we go up for conferences at Elam. There's a certain place where I stopped, and I got transmission fluid. By the way, I used every bit of it except for 2 quarts. I used every bit. About 130 miles, I used every quart. I mean, just everywhere. And then we were on our way to be with her parents in New Jersey, and, I mean, even there was so much rust, because that's why she added that in there, because the back bumper that I reinforced with some iron, some angle iron, the hitch was on that, it actually fell off while I was going down the road. I saw sparks behind me, and I just pulled over. I said, I'm getting in another car. We're going to her parents. We'll just be there. We'll come out the next day and try to fix everything. It was an amazing story. But I remember the place where I stopped, in Horseheads, New York, where I pulled over. We went in there to get fluid. And I called my dad. I said, you know, I don't think we're supposed to move to Virginia. I think there's everything against us. You know, and I smelled like transmission fluid. You know, I still smell to this day. It's an amazing story. And we just slowly, and I remember him saying to me on the phone, we already heard from God. Just keep going. Yeah, but Dad, you know how much money I've spent on transmission fluid? We've already heard from God. Just keep going. And I've thought about that a lot over the years. because there's times where things can bring, and as I was writing some of these notes here, there's times in our lives where things don't work out the way we want them to. You're not recognized at work, no promotion. Your family is there's some division going on in your family. Something's going on between you and maybe a child of yours. And there's just things that are going on that cause you to be discouraged. And I've experienced some of that. That one journey, and there's been many more things in my life where I've had to deal and wrestle with discouragement. But through that, I realized, and I wrote this in my notes because I really feel it very strongly, discouragement is one of Satan's most effective weapons to wound people. And it sidelines and paralyzes Christians and leaders. Puts them on the side because they're discouraged. Causes them to do things that they shouldn't do. I put this in just 4 D's here in the thoughts on the overhead. Discouragement causes you to lose heart. I think that's why Scripture tells you to guard your heart. To guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. David, cleanse my heart, oh God. Cleanse my heart. The heart. Discouragement can cause you to lose heart. Discouragement can cause you to settle versus being a pioneer, versus forging new territory. Let me just kind of settle. Discouragement can cause you to withdraw. Discouragement can cause you to go off mission, off purpose. Discouragement is just a killer. You know, it's not some big thing. I mean, that's bad enough if it's something really big, but it's just these little things, these little foxes that tend to steal it, steal that corn and cause us to be discouraged. And yet, it's right against it. Grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Keep pressing. But Lord, there's these things that come and cause us to be discouraged. And we'll look at a couple of individuals that have to wrestle with this in the Scripture. The root word of discouraged, of course, is the word courage. So discouraged means the removal of, the depriving of courage, or the loss of confidence. When you're discouraged, courage is taken out. So it's the absence of courage is discouraged. And I've looked at this. I want to take you to the book of Nehemiah. And so if you have your Bible, just kind of head on over there to Nehemiah back in the Old Testament, page 401. Chapter 6. And I want to let's talk about Nehemiah for a few minutes here. What he goes through, because he's one who's going to wrestle with this whole thing of discouragement. Time doesn't allow me to take you through everything about him, but there's one section here in chapter 6. You know, Nehemiah has the burden of the Lord, the walls of Jerusalem. Different groups have come in and really knocked everything down, destroyed the city, and God puts Nehemiah's off in another land, but God lays a burden on his heart. Boy, the walls have been knocked down to go and rebuild them. And so Nehemiah, you know, saddles up and he heads back, and the favor of God with him and the approval, you know, of the leader. And so he goes back. And so they are, if you go to chapter 5, you know, there's all kinds of things happening. They're building. When you come to chapter 6, you've got a couple of individuals that rise up. Sanballat and Tobias rise up, and they start to say, hey, listen, we're going to come in and we're going to take down everything you're trying to do. But there's good reports in chapter 5, because the one group is over here working, another group's over there working. And it says here Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, says it this way, says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So the wall is, you know, it's not all the way, but it's halfway, and they're connecting. All the different groups are out working on the wall. And so it's about half as high as it should be, but everyone's working and things are going on. And so I titled this little section here, what are some of the causes of discouragement? And sometimes it's in ministry, but you know what? All life is ministry, isn't it? Amen. It's not just stuff that happens inside these walls. It's right there in your homes where you guys are ministering before the Lord. And so here are some of the causes. And I see that with here in Nehemiah's story, especially if you go where there, it says in verse 7, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and with the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, because again, you will read this chapter after chapter, the same stuff that's going on, heard that there was the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem. It was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed. They were very angry. I mean, why? You have no idea, right? But they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. As you go down, you come to verse 11. And our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space, behind the wall, in open places, I stationed people by their clans with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And the work continues. 4 things that I believe from this portion of Scripture that cause discouragement. Number one is fatigue. Fatigue. We just get wore out. That's why I think it's important that there's a good rest regimen in your life. There's that word margin. Is there any margin in your life? Rest. Sometimes we are so flat out just going, we miss this part. Fatigue. It says, the strength of the laborers is giving out, Nehemiah says in this portion. The strength is giving. They've been working so hard, and now they've got to deal with an enemy that's coming at them. You see, fatigue many times can cause you to be discouraged. Secondly, frustration. It says here, they say, there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. It's just too much. It's just way too much. We can't do it. How many of you ever heard that before in different situations where you have faced a situation and you just kind of throw your arms up from frustration? There's just way too much. The rubble can sidetrack us. Sometimes it's trivial interruptions, and sometimes it's even good work can get in the way of God work. Busyness and the ongoing drain can suck life right out of you. The third thing that I see from this portion that can really cause us to be very discouraged and hurt, and that is the word failure. He says it this way, there is so much rubble in the wall that we cannot rebuild the wall. You know, that's interesting. You know, I have, by the grace of God, and I hope it's you also, never been defined by the failures in your life. Amen. Amen? Failures. You know, so many times the enemy wants to highlight the failure rather than the successes. And we find ourselves very frustrated because it's really the things that God does in our lives that we should highlight, not the things that we have failed at. And what I love is that Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good anyway. So there is no failure in God. So you got to, the word has to completely counter any of the things that you personally feel in here. But failure can be a real cause of discouragement. And lastly here is this word fear. Also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to the work. The enemy loves to paralyze us with fear. He loves to cause that with fear. You know, one of the things that I knew that when the Lord began and was speaking to me and began to plant in my heart that there was a transition coming in my life, in the ministry that God had called us to, in pastoring at New Covenant, that there was a change coming. It first of all had to start here, and I had to wrestle with the Lord, you know, about this. Well, Lord, is this really you? You know, so there was a lot of things that I had to wrestle with in that area. And then, of course, then not only did God have to bring me on board and make sure that I was aware of what was going on and bring my wife on board and then bring the elders on board and so on so that we move together in unity through the process. But you see, it began at a time where God was really just beginning to do surgery on my own heart. Because one of the things that I believe very strongly is that we should never have our identity wrapped around what we do. And that had to come back to me a few times. God reminded me of that. Your identity. See, here's the deal. And this is going to be free, but listen to this. Your calling never changes, but your assignment does. Are you with me? Your calling never changes. The pastoral call on my life, I never asked for it, but came from him. That call has never changed. But where I do it has. It has. See, if I can get my brains around that one, it's key to battling discouragement. I have to make sure I understand that the calling of God, see, the Bible says the callings and giftings, right, of God are without what? Repentance. Amen? And the scripture says that a man's gifts makes a place for him in the house. So I say that to you because I think every one of you, man or woman in this place, every one of you, you have a call on your life. You have a call that comes from God. Some it's maybe more behind the scenes, some might be more out in front, but it's a call from him. It wasn't something that changed from when you were childhood, because as a child, through your childhood, as you have grown, that same sense, the things that you are interested in and so on, those are all from God. And it just doesn't change by the twinkling of a nose, and then something happens, and, well, I'm going to be different when I get to, you know, when I get to 25. It's not how it works. This is the process God has brought us through, and so we are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but as we are growing, there are times when we become discouraged because we haven't maybe understood this whole idea of the calling of God never changes on your life, but the assignment, where you will serve him or in what capacity you will serve him, that changes. And many times we have it all, this is how it's going to be. It's right here. It's right. It's right. Man, I got it. Everything's in control. It's right here. And the moment you think you have it in control, he just removes the whole thing. And you go, I had it all set. I had it all set for retirement. I had it all set for my family. I had it all set for my life. And this is how it was going to be. But God says, no. You are growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will learn to rely on him, not on your ability to keep it all in order. Ouch. That hurts. Because many times we want it all the way we have figured it out. And some of us are masters at that. We're very good. We're professionals. We love to have it this way. And when it's not that way, here comes that D word, discouragement. We get ourselves discouraged. And at different points in your life, as you have faced situations and change and family issues and things, and you might look at the country and it can cause discouragement for you. And through it all, you go, okay, Lord, I want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens not because you have it all in control. It happens because you get out of control, but he's in control. Amen? You with me? I know some of this is a little deep for this morning, but I want to make sure I encourage you with this, because I found in my own life that many people are walking around discouraged. They're hurting. I get it. It's very, very real. I'm not discrediting that at all. It's very real in our lives, but we need to come back to the center place of walking with him. And I think Nehemiah illustrates that in a very beautiful way. Is not only are there's some negatives going on here, but as you read through Nehemiah, you'll come to the place and you'll say, he's found a secret. He's found a secret, how to press through all of this stuff that just keeps coming at him in ways. But he's going to grow. Amen? So what's the antidote? Let me just kind of move forward here with you. What's the antidote? What's the answer? What's the remedy? What's the way that we see people overcome discouragement? because you are set for the long haul. This is not a, like I said, this is not an instant thing. We are set for the long haul. And so how are we going to do this? How do I overcome discouragement in my life? Number one, I would say to you, and I take this from 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. You can study that later on, but this is the story of Elijah. Okay? But I want to take the number one, it's rest. Okay? Rest. How do we deal with discouragement in our lives? One of the things that I had to do is I had to learn how to rest. You have Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 19. You have where he deals with the prophets of Baal and all that victory where they just, you know, they pour water over the altar and the sacrifice and everything else. And he cries out to God, flames come down and just devour everything, licks up all the water. Amazing. The flames are just licking it up, this water and all this great victory. And then we come to chapter 19 and Jezebel has this, you know, code red on Elijah's back. We got to go get him. So Elijah's running and he finds himself, he puts himself under a little tree there and he's just like, okay, God, kill me. It's like, let me go back to chapter 18. You know, is this the same Elijah that I know? And here he is, and he's under the tree, and he's just sad, discouraged, disheartened. And it says here that God puts him to sleep. And when he awakens, there's this little cake, you know, cake. And God says to him, get up and eat. He's going to do that two times. He's going to put him to sleep, give him some food, now eat it. And as I've read that over and over, spoken on that portion at different times over the years, I see this word rest really sticks up in a very powerful way. You know, we need soul care in our lives. Even Jesus, it says, got away to be with his Father. Got away. Boys, get in the boat, push away from the shore. Let's get out here. I got to go get away. Gethsemane, etc. Different places where Jesus just gets away. The importance of rest. You know, I don't know where you're at and what kind of discouragement that you wrestle with. And maybe things haven't worked out the way that you wanted them to. But through that, it's important. You need to find a place of rest. Kick it out of gear a little bit and rest. Learn to rest. Learn to rest. Learn to rest. You know, I think rest, for many of us, we can get, if you're like me, at times when I'm trying to rest, my mind is still running. So I'm thinking about all the things that I still have to do, right, or I need to do. How do you really just focus? And I think there's a good word, meditation. I think it's really good. Meditating on his word, as David says. And I think, how do we learn to meditate on the word so that we get the rest? Because remember, we're called to be a people who grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're called to do that. But we find ourselves frustrated and discouraged many times, even many times during a day. Number one, learn to rest in dealing with discouragement. Secondly, one of these that really helped me was reorganize your life. I come back to verse 13 here in Nehemiah chapter 4. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families, with their swords, spears, and bows. Reorganize your life. A couple of things I wrote in my notes here was learn to clean up your environment. Reevaluate your schedule. Don't get stuck in routines. Now, I'm not saying routines are bad. I'm just saying be careful you don't get stuck in them and you can't adapt to a change. Right? So learn to reorganize your life. I love that Nehemiah then has this idea, comes from God. Okay, let's take the people and station them. Now, we have to be defensive, but we're also offensive. We're building the wall, but we realize we've heard from the enemy, we've heard, and some of the ones from inside, we've heard that they're going to try to attack us. So let's be careful, let's be cautious, let's be prudent with what we're doing. And so I want to say to each one of you, I think that however discouragement comes to you, learn to take a step back and say, what do I need to reorganize? Because something's sucking some life out of me. Somewhere something's going on, and it's causing me to lose the victory. And so I get discouraged because I'm dealing with stuff that I'm not sure where it's sucking life from me right now. So take a step back and say, how do I reorganize my life? What do I need to do? Thirdly, so it's rest, reorganize, it's remember. I love this when Nehemiah says it to them. He says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. That's the word faith. If you're taking notes, write the word faith next to number three there. Remember the Lord. It's faith. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. So it's got to be of faith. And I want to say to you that whatever you're facing, whatever seems to be causing you discouragement, you can rest, you can reorganize, but let me tell you something. You're not going anywhere without remembering the Lord. That He is great, and that He is awesome. He is awesome. We sang these songs this morning about the goodness of God and the greatness of God. It says David, when faced at the story of Ziklag, when they had gone, he had taken his men, they had gone to the town of Ziklag to take the enemy and to conquer them. The enemy had gone around them, come behind them, and burnt the their settlement where they had settled as an army, taken all the families and the animals and so on. And so when the guys were on the whole, David and all of his mighty men and his army were there at Ziklag and looking at it, there's no one there. And so as they're all kind of marching back, very discouraged by what they've just encountered, they look and they see smoke. They see smoke and, oh, man. And as they get close, they realize the enemy tricked them and came in, knocked them all out. That's one of the things that I always have said when I speak to Christian leaders at all, I always say to them, one of the things you need to pray the most about is your families, because one of the places where the enemy loves to take out leaders is from their families. Loves to do it. Take out their families. If he can take their family out, he can take them out. And so that's why you need to learn how to pray that way. But so David, and of course now all of his guys, their wives are gone, their families are gone, everything's gone, and it says of them that they wanted to kill David. Don't you love that? Leaders love that. They want to kill David. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David learned that. I think it's something that we might need to come back to in our lives, right? Is learning to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he said to his men, all right, guys, get your stuff, strap it on. Let's go get our families. And every family member was returned to every one of the men, of the fighting men. No one was lost. It's a great testament, but yet it's also, I think for us, it's a reminder to learn that when everything looks like really, really negative and down, remember the Lord your God. Remember Him. What are you remembering? Remember, I got just quickly here. Remember His goodness in the past to you. God's been good to you, been faithful to you. Remember His closeness in the present. From out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It comes from the grace of God, comes from the throne of God through you. Remember His power for the future. Put on the armor. It's not if something negative is going to happen to you. It's just when is it going to happen. And you have your armor. You know who He is. And I can now press into the future. I was listening to a song the other day. Sometimes I put some of the old Christian stuff that I listened to over the years. And it was, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm just reminding myself of that. You know, some of the doctrine or theology that's in that song. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. How real that is during times of discouragement. So remember the Lord. That's faith just wrapped into that aspect of how do I deal with discouragement. Lastly, learn to resist the discouragement. In verse 14, it says, fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Fight, Nehemiah says. Fight for it. He positions them, gets them ready, tells them to remember who God is and how he's been faithful to us, and now we're going to go forward. Now it's time, when the enemy comes, fight. Do not hold back. And I think so many times we do a lot of things, but that fight aspect, we just kind of, well, you know, God's going to work it all out. Well, he is, but he wants to use you in the process. I think we miss that part of it. And so many of us miss, I believe, a lot of God's blessings in our lives because we haven't taken our part on the wall, as it were. Remember that as you are seeing discouragement, as you see something coming to attack, learn to resist it. Learn to resist it. I put in my notes here, remember it's your backyard. It's your home court. You know what can happen and you know how to deal with it. It's your sphere of influence. People will come and things will be said and it will cause you to be very frustrated. But listen, you have everything that's in you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. There will be weapons formed against you, but they won't prosper. Amen? He's called you to be an overcomer. Greater is he that's in the world than he that's where? Right? No, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Got to remember that. That didn't sound right. Greater is he. God has put that in you. God has put that in you. And so we need to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. See, he's giving you weapons. I could take you to Ephesians chapter 6 and go through the whole armor there. And the offensive weapon of prayer, the offensive weapon of a sword, that's the word of God. Those are offensive weapons God's given to you. And so many times I find that people are discouraged, and not just in the church. Even in the world, I see them every day around where I work. People just discouraged. And many times it creates this vortex of negativity that they just want to grab you into and suck you down with them. And I go, I'm not going to get there. By the grace of God, I'm not going to allow this negative attitude to grab me and suck me right in and take me down with them. It takes a lot of work. It's this word resist. Under this fourth point, it's resist. Learn. Know the strategies of the enemy. It says of the sons of Issachar, they understood their times. They understood the seasons that they were in. They know what's going on. I encourage you that in your life, God has placed you at such a time for this right now. You are right where God wants you. You're in the right time. I mean, we're in 2020. I remember in high school, they told us in 2020, we'd all be wearing masks. You know, thank God for my environmental science teacher, Mr. Moore. Right? We'd all be wearing masks, and it would be like this and be like that. Well, here we are. We're in 2020, and God is faithful to every one of us. And even though there's been ups and downs, and there will be more ups and downs, many, many more things. But you know what? Remember the Lord, he is great. Learn to rest during the seasons where rest is needed. Learn to reorganize. Change some priorities of things. And then fight. Resist the enemy. Resist. Because when you resist discouragement, what comes in the place of that, as I said earlier, is courage. Courage. Yeah, the enemy looks big, but you know what? I can take him. I can take him out. One stone, right to the forehead. I can take him out. And I think if we will gather that mentality, we'll find less times of discouragement. Now, the negative stuff is going to come at you. I'm not telling you you're going to get like a little shell over here and nothing negative is going to happen in your life again. I'm just telling you there's lots of negative that's going to happen. All I'm telling you is this is a strategy to learn how to overcome, how to walk through it. Because the call and the command from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 is grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a little bit of what I shared today here is that, learning to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because discouragement, every one of us has to deal with. There's not a person that I know in all the encounters in my life that didn't have to deal with and wrestle with discouragement. Even some of the great theologians, Spurgeon, names like that, Calvin. I mean, just some of the names of just some of the great church guys of the centuries before had to deal with a big time discouragement, big time. So this is not something that's just weird and it's over there inside. I know you're facing this every day. I don't know what the causes are. You'll need to address that, but I'm giving you a strategy, at least one, that you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. There's times that I have found that speaking in tongues has been a tremendous encouragement to me when I'm facing discouragement. Okay? But I found times where that really hasn't been as big of a help to me at that time. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it, just saying at times. Other times I have found more that whole aggressive, defensive, resist mentality has been more the warfare God's calling me to do. I found that to be a strategy. Other times I found if I'll just separate myself and get over there and get some rest time, I'll get reinvigorated and everything's good. I'm moving forward. The reorganization of things in my life, reprioritizing things in my life, that's been important. So I don't know what it is for you. I'm just giving you a sense here of some strategy that you can use in advancing, because you have been called and commanded to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for you all here just as we close our time. Give it back here to Greg in a moment. But if you're here and you let's just say, I'm the first one standing, but if you deal with some issue, or maybe you right now you're dealing with some discouragement in your life, I'm going to ask you just to stand as an act of faith. I want to pray with you, pray over you, because I'm dealing with things in my life right now and there's discouragement and I'm wrestling with it. So I just want to pray, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, with each brother and sister that's standing, we stand here together before you. You are the great I am. And nothing changes you. You never change. And we thank you that you're the same God yesterday as you are today, and you will be forever. And so today I ask you, Lord, to fill each one of these people, myself included, as we stand before you. Lord, we recognize that, as it says, as Nehemiah said, we remember the Lord our God. We press in, we reach into the heavenly dimension, and we grab a hold of what you are doing in your divine nature. In the throne room of heaven, by faith we reach there, and we thank you, Lord, for giving us an overcoming spirit, that whatever we're facing in our families, in church, things at work, things in our personal lives, whatever it is, Lord, you are able to walk us and bring us through and to overcome. Those that are dealing with their discouragement because of health issues right now, Lord, I pray that you would just cause them to have a greater level of faith. I realize that won't necessarily change where they are physically, but Lord, it will cause them to get their eyes off of themselves and put their eyes on you. That, Lord, our calling is from you. Our assignments will change, but Lord, we have been called by the God of the universe to make a difference in this way in this world. And so I ask you to bless each one, strengthen them, Lord, fill them today with a new level of faith and courage that, Lord, whatever it is that they're facing, you have placed something greater in them than what they're facing. And that presence is you by your Spirit. Bless each person here today. I pray your blessing on them, their families. We lift up Bubba to you and Bebo. We thank you for being with Bubba on this trip. Speak to him, Lord, in just some very, very real and deep ways. Even as he deals with discouragement in his life, let him see a new picture of you in his life as he's there. So we commit him to you also. Now, Lord, bless each person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated before the Lord. Greg, thank you, Lord.
Good word this morning, brother. You know, the enemy always tries to distract us, right? And if they can distract us from growing in the Lord, as Mark shared, then we get discouraged, right? And I just remember when Bubba shared that series on Nehemiah, and they were building the wall, and the enemy was coming at them. Trowel in one hand, sword in the other. They built the wall day and night. And sometimes that's the way we need to walk. With a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. So that was good. And they decided to separate him and say, come on over and rest in the valley of Ono. We need to learn to say Ono to Ono. So praise the Lord. Thanks, Mark, for coming and sharing. So, Lord, I just pray a blessing over the people this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each one here, Lord. I pray for all of our health in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray for those who couldn't be here, Lord. We pray for a healing touch on them, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, do bless Bubba and Neil and the team there, Lord. Let this be a time of refreshing and renewing in his heart, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, just bring us back together in your love in Jesus' name. Amen.